Get your official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Greetings. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are not live, but this is a brand new episode. If you're listening at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, August 29th, the end of August, guys, 2020 at dnrstudios.com, the only place you can hear this podcast throughout the week that it first airs. If you listen somewhere else, please leave your ratings, leave your reviews, whatever audio platform you listen to, that's where you want to leave your review. Email me anything at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page. There's a lot of lively discussion on that page. And recently, I did a story, you know, those Facebook stories you can do, of my naked ass. And if you're a follower...
Unfollow.
Take me, it's like, what do I have to do to make sure I never see that? So yeah, if you're not following the Adam Sank Show Facebook page, you're missing out on some very important content. Download my comedy albums and get your official ass merch. T-shirts, tank tops, masks to protect you from the Trump virus.
Please wear your masks.
Wear your mask. The link to all that is adamsank.com. And more important than any of that bullshit, answer the census and register to vote. Vote.org and census2020.com. .gov, or maybe it's 2020census.gov, but you can find it, and it's very important. Our guest today, speaking of Trump, is, I believe, the world's greatest living impersonator, my good friend J.L. Covin. You know, we've had him on the show before, but he wasn't famous when we had him on, and now he is.
Oh my God, he's so good.
He blew up this past year, so I'm happy that he will still do this show, unlike certain people who have become too famous. Bianca Del Rio. But anyway, so yeah, we'll be talking to JL later, but it's my pleasure now to welcome back our first ever giant guest co-host, Damien Kington.
I don't even know how to do a giant voice.
Fee-fi-fum. I smell lots of dick and cum. Thank you. I'm a poet. Damien, how are you?
I'm so well. For seeing you again, and JB, you know,
it's been so long since last week. Damien, I don't know that I've ever asked you what your coming out story was.
Oh God, actually, it's kind of boring on my family side, but then like more interesting on my friend side. On my family side, like my dad's sister was a lesbian. I grew up like rural, humble Australia.
What part for our Australian listeners?
Oh, Queensland, Central Queensland, and known as sort of being redneck and everything, but actually, like my dad had a lesbian sister who did Elvis shows at the local gay pub. There was a local gay pub, and like have lots of gay cousins. So I mean, I got teased, and it was a difficult childhood from that perspective. But my parents, yeah, they kind of like didn't really know what to do with it. But I didn't really have to come out. I remember being at a Christmas lunch, and a Jewish friend of mine came, and my mum was there, and she made some reference about me being gay, and she was like, your mum knows you're gay, right? And I said, well, yes, she's met me. So, was all fine.
The Jewish lady outed you?
Yeah, basically. But my friend...
Leave it to the Jews.
On my friend's side, a good girlfriend of mine, her boyfriend, we were good friends, they were living in another city, came home, conservative parents... Don't sleep in the same room. So he has to sleep somewhere else. So he stayed with me, and we hooked up. And then that was all very dramatic when that came out.
Wait, you hooked up with a parent?
No, with my friend's boyfriend.
He
was staying with me because he couldn't stay with her.
You fucking whore!
I know. It's like
this is
we're still very good friends.
You can tell the grunting is in Australian. JB, what did you have a dramatic coming out?
Okay, so I came out to my mom twice.
Welcome to JB, by the way.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
So I came out to my mom twice. The first time it was it's just a phase. And the second time was like, I can't believe you're gay and or confused. And then I just kept having to come out over and over again because my mom was like, you hang out with all these girls.
Still gay.
I just think, you know, you're going to marry them. No, Ma, I still like dick. I may have never introduced you to any of my boyfriends, but I've had a boyfriend or two. And I seem to enjoy the penis very much. So more was a dramatic, more of a reminder that
I'm still gay, Mama. Yep. Well, my parents are great now. They were horrid at the beginning,
were
especially
they?
My mother. Yeah.
His parents are lovely. I know
Thank
he
you.
Like speaks ill of them sometimes.
No, I don't. I love them, but they were, and they're very progressive and very, you know, they've always believed in equality for all people. They just did not want a gay son. And they were shocked that I could be gay. So the first thing my mother said to me was, you're going to die of AIDS.
Oh my God, my mom said the same thing. That's because she worked in St. Vincent's Hospital during the AIDS crisis.
Oh.
Mine didn't. She's just a cunt. Just kidding. No, but
whereas I think she's just funny.
Well, she wasn't trying to be funny. But she was wrong, by the way, but she was close. I did get HIV. Just didn't die from it.
Not dead yet.
Yeah, not dead yet.
Day is long.
But all of this is a very awkward and shocking segue into our lead story, which is a huge breakthrough, what looks like it could be a huge breakthrough, in the treatment of HIV.
Yeah.
The FDA has given approval for a human trial of a potential cure. Not a treatment, a cure. The new trial will test a gene therapy developed by biotech firm American Gene Technologies. I'm picturing like some guy named Gene. Which is based in Rockville, Maryland. Its HIV gene therapy is known as AGT-103T. That's America's Got Talent 103T. It involves removing some white blood cells from an HIV-positive patient, then inserting a gene that modifies the T cells. This enables the cells to stop HIV replication. Then they take these HIV-resistant CD4 T cells and infuse them back into the patient, where they can duplicate and fight HIV. The founder and chief executive officer of AGT said in a statement, I am confident AGT-103T, R2D2C3PO, will be an important step towards an eventual cure for HIV.
That's amazing. You know, they've been using a modified version of the HIV virus to deliver candidates for a cure for coronavirus. So they've been actually using the HIV virus. So I guess
well, from the beginning,
good.
They suspected that those of us who are pos whores might have a natural defense against coronavirus.
Right.
And I mean, I haven't gotten sick, so.
And a lot of doctor surgeries that have HIV patients have said that they've seen a remarkably low amount of
yes, my
cases,
doctor's
right?
told me that. He said he's got like 30,000 men in his practice, most of whom are gay, many of whom are HIV positive,
wow.
And not a single one of them has died during this entire epidemic.
Wow.
And this was, you know, when New York was, yep. we were losing 8,000 people a day at one point. So, but this is amazing. They've been talking about
amazing.
Gene therapy for years as a possible way to treat HIV, and it's just getting closer and closer. So
bring it on.
We hope to have initial results by the end of the year. We will keep you posted. Meanwhile, we've talked about Ellen DeGeneres quite a bit over the past few months. Her being secretly mean. We created a bumper for her. I don't know if you've heard us sing it.
I haven't.
You're a mean one. Ellen DeG. You're a privileged talk show host. You've got splinters in your pussy and your heart is made of poo. Ellen DeG. Anyway, well.
Are the rumors all true? Like, it's hard to tell with these cases, like, what's
well, when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, it's starting to sound like her show was a pretty toxic culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she personally did mm-hmm. anything that was so terribly heinous. The worst that she seems to have done is to be like cold
right.
to people, which is sort of understandable when you're responsible for so much and you're dealing with so much. You can't always be like, hi, how are you? But the show itself, there were accusations of racism, a toxic work culture, bullying, harassment, and the fact that she was sort of okay with it or didn't bother to know that it was going on is what she's mostly being accused of now. But now she's back in the news because a TikTok user put together a supercut of instances in which actress Sofia Vergara appeared on Ellen. Now, Sofia and Ellen are friends, and you know, they have this like easy breezy rapport whenever she's on the show. But this TikTok user, whose name is Elena G245, if you care, she felt that Ellen was mocking Sophia's accent and her command of English in a way that wasn't funny. It was just mean. So take a listen to the supercut.
Spanish, so I've been doing a Spanish word of the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I thought I would teach you an English word so that...
Okay.
I know. So your English word, I mean, literally, you've been on this show for 10 years and your accent has gotten worse. How is that possible? Your English has gotten better, I have to say.
Your English?
I'm understanding you.
Celebrate two times, get two gifts, get...
Do you get gifts?
I get gifts.
Yeah, what kind of gifts do you get?
Sexy gifts.
So, when I first saw this, I was thinking about Charo. Because Sofia Vergara is very much this generation's Charo.
Totally.
Damien and I grew up with Charo, who is still alive and well.
Coochie coochie.
Charo was the coochie coochie girl who was known for having this very sort of funny Spanish, I mean, funny sounding to us, Spanish accent. She was a comedian. She had huge tits. She was always kind of making fun of her sexiness and her lack of command of English. In fact, Charo was and is brilliant. Mm. And was in on the joke the whole time and is also, by the way, the world's greatest living classical guitarist, which is something many people don't
know. That's how she started, right?
I've seen her perform live.
And please follow her on Facebook.
She's great. So I always thought, like, okay, Sophia gets two kinds of jokes whenever she does talk shows. She gets the accent and the language jokes that Ellen was doing. She also gets the, like, sex symbol joke. Like, look how sexy. She's incredibly beautiful. And I felt like she was always in on it. Mm-hmm. When I watched her face in these clips, she does appear to be cringing a bit. She does appear to not be enjoying the ribbing, as Damien would put it.
No, because it gets old, yo. Like, unless it you come with some new material. Like, yeah, it's funny the first two times she's on your show. But, bitch, she's on your show all the time. Stop it. Think of something else.
Well, thanks to Damien, we have an update. Because just yesterday, Sofia decided to speak out. Do you want to give the update yourself, since you're the one who sent it to me?
Yeah, she posted, I can't find the post now, but I'm going to paraphrase, she's no victim to comedians having fun with each other. I was never a victim, guys. I was always in on the joke. And that's how I've always thought about their relationship. I mean, do you remember Alan dressed as Sophia for Halloween?
I don't watch the show.
I think Alan is so entranced by her. The other thing I would say about Sophia is that her accent, her beautiful accent, is so much part of her character. You know, without that accent, you know,
it's almost like she plays it up.
Yeah.
So my feeling is, ask Sophia how she feels about this. Sophia's a grown ass woman. She's the highest paid sitcom actress on television, or at least she was when Modern Family was on the air. She's a strong, powerful woman. She can speak up if she's being offended. I agree with JB. It gets old, come up with a new joke. And it is kind of not okay for a white person to be making fun of a Latina person's accent at this point. But Sophia has come forward to defend Ellen. And who knows? Maybe that's because it's Ellen and you want to stay in good graces and Ellen's important. Or maybe she genuinely is fine with it. And
yeah, accents are used to...
I make fun of yours all the time.
All the time. No. I know. But some people use it to like, I'm part of the joke. And then others use it to kind of... put you down like that. That's how, you know, I guess any humor, you know, you're either like highlighting someone or you're using it against them. Like in the UK, my Australian accent is kind of like a little lower class, right?
Oh, you don't have a posh accent?
Not in the UK. Huh. No, you know, they all talk like this.
Is that how Simon talks?
That's how Simon talks. Actually, even one of the first things he said to me when we met was, oh, when I grew up, Australian, we were always taught Australians weren't very sophisticated and, you know, sort of lower class.
Simon does have a very posh accent.
He does have a very crisp posh accent.
That's why
I
chose him to be the announcer of our show. Well, in any case, Elena G245 says, I feel like if anyone said those things in real life, no one would be laughing. Just because you don't understand the accent doesn't mean the person doesn't speak English. And that's absolutely true. Mm. Again, I think we're scrutinizing comedy a little bit too closely. But the bottom line for me is Sofia Vergara should say whether or not she's bothered
exactly.
by it.
Yeah, she did, though.
And she says
and
she's not.
This one, I feel like this girl, she wanted to fight for a cause and didn't know what to fight for. And she chose the wrong fight. Girl, there's other things to fight for. Pick a different fight. Pick the right fight.
Right.
JB has spoken.
Go, JB.
Meanwhile, and here's something we really should be focusing on, a former WWE wrestler named Marty Jannetty. I'm going to spell his name because it's not what you think. Jannetty. Jannetty. That's like a white trash spelling of Jannetty.
And he is white trash.
Yes. He claims that he murdered a gay man decades ago.
This is so gross.
This is a guy with 20 championships under his belt. I've never understood professional wrestling.
I'm so glad you said that because I thought I was going to turn up and go, I don't understand this whole world.
It's really entertainment for morons because everyone knows it's fake.
Right.
Everyone knows they're all playing characters and the fights are choreographed and I don't get it. But anyway, in a post to Facebook.
I understand it because I still like watching Power Rangers. It's
well, you like. Yeah, you like cartoons and comic books and you like fantasy.
Yeah, I know it's shit. I'm going to enjoy this shit while it's here. Huh. I'm going to enjoy my shit pie.
You eat that shit pie. Well, in a post to Facebook, Jannetty, who is now 60, wrote that he bought marijuana from a gay man at a bowling alley who he then murdered. He wrote that the fag put his hands on me. He dragged me around the back of the building. He claims he was 13 at the time. You already knew what he was going to try to do, Jannetty wrote, referring to sexual assault. Jannetty said the authorities should have looked for the gay man's body in the Chattahoochee River, which runs near his hometown of Columbus, Georgia. Winnie, he wrote, referring to his lover, I likes you so damn much, probably my favorite, but I promised myself way back then nobody would ever hurt me again. I don't know what Winnie has to do with any of it. In a comment, Jannetty said that the murder was a billion years ago. Plus, I have the satisfaction of knowing that bitch-ass ninja never gonna do another kid like that. He has since deleted the Facebook post.
The woman he was photoed with, I think, like, he was angry at her or something. I think her name might be Winnie.
Yes. She somehow was part of his reason for posting this. But anyway, if the story is accurate, the murder occurred 47 years ago, but Georgia has no statute of limitations on murder. The Columbus Police Department says they are going to look into this.
As they should.
Absolutely.
Ugh,
because this is
so
the classic.
Gross.
Look, I don't know what happened. I don't know if this guy actually assaulted him, but this sounds to me like the classic gay panic defense. He made a pass at me, so I killed him.
Totally. But in that post, he's always he also is so proud of himself today that, oh, you know, he's not on the street doing this to other people right now. This person is...
Well, my friend Ryan Shores, my straight comedian friend from San Diego who loves professional wrestling, when he saw me post about this, he goes, this guy's been batshit crazy for years. So who even knows if this happened? In 2016, Jannetty joined a class action lawsuit against WWE, alleging that the wrestling league concealed information about the risk of brain injuries from wrestlers. And so it's very possible that he has brain damage.
He definitely has brain damage. You don't need a doctor.
That's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing at that. But what I'm saying is we should take any murder confessions from 47 years ago from this man with a grain of salt.
First of all, who admits to murdering people? You don't see me admitting demons in my closets. Like, what's wrong with you?
Who murders people?
That's a better question. JB's like, I can understand murdering someone, but why would you admit it?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't condone murdering, no.
Well, it also shows you how little he values a gay person's life. He thinks
exactly.
Nothing's going to happen to him.
Exactly.
From posting this. Like, oh, it's just like, a gay guy who tried to hit on me.
I did a community service.
Right.
And also, there's no statute of limitations to murder. Like,
that's
the one law.
Even in Georgia.
We all agree that that's wrong.
Yeah, it's totally wrong.
I was going to do a story now about the president of Fisk University, who's been accused of drugging, robbing, and raping his Grindr date. This is a married university president. But I forgot to include the story in this printout that I always send JB. So I won't be able to do it. But it's a good story. He's on suspension right now. It's bizarre. It's the kind of story we like to talk about on the ass. So Google Fisk University president. Not Fist, Damien. Get your mind out of the gutter. Fisk.
Hello, Professor Fist.
Oh, Dr. Fisk.
Teach me something.
I'm always fascinated by these stories of straight married men who wind up.
And there's so many of them. That's what's just like so gross.
These poor women.
I know.
I can't think of anything worse than being a woman married to a gay guy who you didn't know was gay.
Oh, he's a cute little chocolate man. Look at him.
It's a historically black university.
Didn't know that.
It's a big scandal. It's a scandal. Meanwhile, here's another story happening at another university, and this one's a little bit complicated. I'm going to try to get all the facts down for you. So in Holyoke, Massachusetts, they have this very cute 31-year-old mayor named Alex Morse, openly gay Democrat. In addition to being the mayor of Holyoke, he's also a teacher at the local university there. He is running against another Democrat. This is not Democrat versus Republican. This is the incumbent congressman, Representative Richard Neal, another Democrat. Morse, the gay one, has been facing allegations of misconduct, specifically that he hit on college students using social media and hookup apps and had sexual relationships with some of them and made some of them feel uncomfortable. The college Democrat, there's like a young Democrats club at the college that has accused him of using his position of power for romantic or sexual gain. This is according to the Massachusetts Daily Collegian. The groups allege that Morse had sexual relations with students at UMass Amherst, where he is a lecturer in the Department of Political Science, as well as from other schools in the area. They accused him of meeting students as young as 18 on dating apps such as Tinder and Grindr. He also connected with them on Insta, adding them to his close friends' story, direct messaging them, and making some of them feel uncomfortable. So that was what the story was at first. And I posted about it, and I was like, what do you guys think about this on the Adam Sank Show page? Because my feeling, and I'll let Damien go next, my feeling was it's not a great idea when you're 31 to be having sex with 18-year-olds, period. It's really not a great idea when you're a teacher, professor, or lecturer, and they're a student at the same university. Regardless of whether they're your student, you are still in a position of power, and 18-year-olds may very willingly go along with this, but they don't necessarily have the capacity to understand that they are in an imbalanced situation. So that was my initial thought. There's more to this story, but Damien, you go ahead.
Well, it's a complicated situation, and that's highlighted through the policies that different universities have, right? Some of the Ivy League universities actually forbid any teacher from having sexual relations with any student at the university, whereas others have a rule that if as long as a student is not within your sphere of power, like if you're not teaching the student, if they're studying something different, if there's no relation, no actual power there, then it's fine. And I'd imagine in situations where you live in a college town, if you removed anyone who went to a college or university that you taught at, he teaches at several, then you're fairly limited in terms of your sexual contact. So it's a complicated situation.
Well, and it was one of those borderline situations where, you know, he was not being accused of sexual assault. He wasn't accused of rape. It was more like you abusing his power as an older man and as a teacher. So there were calls for him to drop out. He said, I want to be very clear about this. I have never in my entire life had a non-consensual sexual encounter with anyone. I've never used my position as power as mayor and UMass lecturer. We have to remember he's also the mayor.
Right.
For romantic or sexual gain or to take advantage of students. I've never violated UMass policy. Any claim to the contrary is false. As I've acknowledged, I have had consensual relationships with other men including students enrolled at local universities that I've met using dating apps. While I am confident that a full investigation into these matters will clear my name completely of any unethical conduct, I also recognize that some students felt uncomfortable with interactions they had with me. I am sorry for that. But he is staying in the race. Now, what then bubbled up to the surface is that one of these college Democrats who accused him of making him feel uncomfortable was actually working with his opponent, this other Democrat, Congressman Neal.
See, that's the thing. Like, if
surprise, motherfucker.
Yes, JB. He had hoped to get a job working in the congressman's office. By the way, all of this reporting is from a great site called TheIntercept.com, and I can't get into the details because it's just too long a story, right. But go to TheIntercept.com if you want to read about this. They found that these allegations were part of a scheme by at least two members of the UMass College Democrats leadership. Their names were Andrew Abramson and Timothy Ennis, to entrap and take down Morse, that had been planned for nearly a year. In early August, this Democratic Association sent a letter to Morse informing him that he was no longer welcome at events. But the quest to damage his reputation was in motion months before. At least as early as April, an email was sent to a reporter named Grace Panetta claiming that there was a story that needed to be told. Person who emailed said, Alex Morse has a bad habit of using his position as a popular politician in Western Mass to hook up with college kids at UMass, 10 plus years younger than him. It's creepy and the power dynamics are terrible. Most of the people he tries to hook up with look up to him and are involved in activism or other political work with him. There's a story to be told here, and if you can get screenshots of his private Insta story or statements on the record from the folks below, it will totally upend the Massachusetts District 1 race.
Look, if he's somehow using his position to coerce people into sex, then of course that's wrong. But if he's just reaching out to someone and they're in the position where, oh my God, he works at my university, he might do something in the background that might impinge on my position as a student, then I get that you feel uncomfortable, but is that wrong?
But also, the only people that say they felt uncomfortable seem to now have been in cahoots with his opponent.
I know, it's
so and this
gross.
Seems to be part of a larger scheme. Also, this guy, Neal, this congressman, even though he's a Democrat, it turns out he's kind of a shithead and has not been a very loyal Democrat and has voted with the Republicans a lot of times. Not that that has any bearing on whether or not Morse did anything wrong, but it's just interesting to note.
Shady. So,
shade.
Do we have a shade sound?
We do.
Shade.
So here's what's important. By the time this episode airs, which will be August 29th, we should know who won the primary. They're debating right now. They had a debate a week ago last night. And I don't know. I think I'm kind of rooting for the hot young mayor.
Yeah. I mean, without knowing the detail, it sounds like
I hate dirty tricks. And I hate when people use a legitimate movement like Me Too to score political points and to hurt someone who maybe hasn't done anything terribly wrong.
You can't co-opt a very good cause to just get your way.
Right.
I am very upset because this man is a hot teacher. And are you trying to get some nookie?
Are you hot for teacher?
Yes. Oh my God. There were so many professors in my college who were so hot. I was like, oh.
You never got them?
No.
I don't think I ever had a hot professor. I had a hot math teacher in high school named Mr. Hudipole. Mr. Hudipole, if you're listening, I would have blown you in an instant.
Oh, you just made his day.
He's hot. He was young, too. He was probably, I mean, I was like 14. He was probably like 22. You know, there wasn't that big an age difference.
Yeah, but that was 60 years ago.
How dare you? How dare
shade,
you?
Shade. Shade.
All right. Speaking of shade, this next story I'm going to deliver to you with a caveat because it appeared on Toll Road and then it disappeared. He took the link down. So it may be wrong, but I did find another kind of press release about it. It says Grindr is going to offer a free SOS service.
No, I found a few articles on this.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't know. They seem to have backtracked. Maybe the deal didn't go through. They're supposed to be teaming up with something called You Are Safe. The letter U, the letter R, safe. And they're offering a 14-day trial of the service, which offers a hands-free SOS alert to law enforcement and location sharing with family and friends via a voice command. You Are Safe describes itself as, maybe it's You're Safe. You're Safe.
You Are Safe.
Yeah, but then they capitalize the U but not the R, which makes me think you're. Anyway, You Are Safe describes itself as a silent bodyguard on its website.
This is fertile ground for comedy. Because you just know someone's going to be in the throes of sex and their safe word is going to come out in like a hot way and then FBI shows up.
Well,
something.
And that's exactly right because the service is triggered when you utter a safe word. Now, my safe word is harder. So that's gotten me into a lot of situations. You Are Safe is now offered to...
Mine's pineapples.
Is it really?
Yes. Thank you, Kevin Hart. I think pineapples is great. It's great to any situation. Pineapples.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You Are Safe is now offered to 4 out of the top 10 global dating sites, including Grindr. After the trial, it will cost $4.99 a month. I recommend this for anyone who goes to a stranger's house that they met on an app because shit goes down all the time.
Now I'm just picturing Adam when he writes a text, he just screams into his phone, like voice to text. And I can just see him screaming pineapples into his phone.
Pineapples! Pineapples! Wait, stop! Pineapples! Pineapples! Pineapples!
But you have to be very careful because if you're screaming pineapples and the guy shows up with one, that's going to be very painful.
Just shove it up your ass. Oh, my God. This show has devolved into something unrecognizable. All right. Well, finally, BuzzFeed has come up with a list of the 34 most popular 3-hour movies of all time.
First of all, I didn't think there were that many. Like, I thought, like, Harry Potter series or, like, the superhero series, yeah, those 3 hours, sure.
No, there are a lot. And my feeling in general about 3-hour movies is even if they're great, they'd be better at 2 hours.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I agree.
I like a good story succinctly told. But there are some movies where you sit through it and you're like, oh, that didn't feel like 3 hours. So I went through this list and BuzzFeed has a quiz to see how many you actually have seen. Mm. I've probably seen half.
Yeah, I've probably seen a third.
I'm interested in knowing what you guys have seen. So here's the list. Avengers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No. Titanic?
Yes.
Yes.
Multiple.
And that's one that never feels too long.
Right.
That needs 3 hours to be told. The Godfather Part 2.
Is it longer than 3 hours?
Seen none of the Godfathers.
Now, what I was curious about is how long was the first Godfather? Why wasn't that 3 hours? The first Godfather was 2 hours and 58 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So they're both basically. I like the Godfather movies. I do not love them as much as everybody else does. Malcolm X.
I haven't seen Malcolm X.
Never saw.
No, my mom told me not to watch it. It's real dark.
Interesting. Oh. It's supposed to be a fabulous performance by Denzel Washington.
Yeah, no, she loved it. She was like, it's not for a child. I was like, but Black history.
Yeah, no, right. I think we should all watch it now. Apocalypse Now Redux. Never saw it. Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Do you really? I want to sit down and watch it.
The only reason to watch Gone with the Wind is to see where the Carol Burnett curtain dress came from. Literally. It's really, okay, it's racist, but it's also really boring. Yeah. It's boring as fuck.
Really?
I couldn't sit through it. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Never saw any of those movies. Damien?
No.
I saw them, but I wasn't into Lord of the Rings. So I couldn't get into it.
The Green Mile.
Yes.
No, I didn't see that.
Giant with Elizabeth Taylor and James Dean. I think I've seen half of it. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen.
That is a fabulous movie and well worth the 3 hours. That's an epic. It's so much fun. King Kong, 2005. Never saw it. Don't care. Maybe I saw it.
Did you?
Is that the one with Jack Black?
It's the remade one.
Maybe I did see it. And
you sat through 3 hours of it?
Yeah, it was a spectacle. I think I thought it was too long. Oscar winner from 1982, Gandhi.
Oh, I haven't seen Gandhi.
It's a lovely movie. It doesn't need to be 3 hours long, but it's certainly well made.
Wasn't it just about his activism and what he did in life?
It's about his whole life.
Yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yeah. The Deer Hunter, 1978, one of Meryl Streep's first movies.
Yes.
Never saw that. Schindler's List, I did finally force myself to sit through. And, I mean, it's a beautifully made movie about a very important thing. I personally prefer the porno version, Schindler's Fist.
Oh, my God.
I always think of Seinfeld. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode
where they make out during Schindler's List? Damien, have you seen it?
No.
JB?
I saw a little bit of it. And then I fell asleep.
It's too sad. Like, I feel like when I sit down and watch a movie, like, something like Schindler's List, you have to be prepared for.
Well, that movie's both happy and sad. I mean, because what he did was heroic, and he saved lives. By the way, if you want to watch one of the funniest stand-up bits of all time, look up Louis C.K.'s bit about Schindler's List. I know he's canceled, but it's great. I'm just going to whip through the rest of these because we're running behind. JFK, Dr. Zhivago, Woodstock, Hamlet, Spartacus, El Cid, War and Peace, Seven Samurai, Shortcuts, Fiddler on the Roof, Reds, The Last Emperor, The Hateful Eight, Pearl Harbor, A Brighter Summer Day, The Ten Commandments, Grindhouse, Inland Empire, The Leopard, and The Irishman, which is a complete piece of shit and not worth 3 minutes of your time, let alone 3 hours.
No.
All righty, and now it's time for our guest, and I'm so excited. He's making his triumphant return to the ass. He's a stand-up comedian who, for years, has hosted Making Podcasts Great Again, on which he does an amazing impersonation of one Donald J. Trump. He and his podcast always had a loyal following. But this past March 25th, as the nation was gripped by the coronavirus pandemic, he released a video that went viral bigly. Take a listen.
250 years ago, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose full name, you know, he was Jewish, so his full name might have been like Christowitz, but God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter. Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead. It's a beautiful story. Very important for the Christians like me. And I have decided, I'm announcing today, we are going to bring back the economy on Easter Sunday. Because God, who, to be honest, is, you know, he's a good God. He's done some strong things. Let's be honest, his record is like not so great, though. He brought one guy back on Easter Sunday. And it was his son, so it was kind of like biased. But we're going to bring back the entire economy.
And joining us all the way from New York City, please give a warm-ass welcome to J.L. Covin.
Hey! Great to be back.
Hey, J.L.
So good to have you back. You know what I love most about that clip? I love when you first say Easter. Because Trump, I've noticed, because he's so unsure of anything he's saying, because he just makes it up as he goes along. When he lands on something he knows 100% is correct, he's very happy about it.
Right. Oh, yeah. And in his mind, if he knows it, not everybody else knows it.
Right.
He's uniquely intelligent in his own mind. So when he stumbles upon a fact, it's something no one else has ever learned before.
So you go, and a holiday we now call Easter. You were first on this podcast just over a year ago, July 2019. And let's be honest, JL, you were a total nobody then. And now you're world famous.
Yes, my dad in Australia is a huge fan, as am I.
You blew up.
It's so fun. Yeah, no, Australia and Canada I've been getting a lot of love from as well. So it's very, and videos came about. I'm not even happy. That was the video that blew up, but I'm not even that happy with the voice in that one. I didn't expect that one to be the one that blew up. I didn't expect any of them to blow up. But it's very weird because I moved to New Jersey almost a year ago. I took a job at a law firm because I basically said I turned 40, and I said I've given pretty much my whole adult life to stand up, and I got to prioritize other things. I got to make regular money, have benefits, put, you know, a relationship ahead of sort of being carefree and hoping that the world recognizes that I'm a solid stand up. And then you know, COVID hit, which speaks, I think, to my career that I wasn't supposed to make it. If it took a, you know, a global health and economic catastrophe just for my career to get a bump,
right?
Doesn't speak well for my career.
So JL,
what happened?
So what happens? Like, take me back to March 25th. You post that video, and then what happens over the ensuing days and weeks?
Yeah, I posted the video. Like, my buddy texted me. I was about to walk Cookie, my dog, and my buddy texts me and says, "I can't believe this idiot just said we're going to open up the economy by Easter." And I just thought to myself, like, I started posting these Twitter videos on March 11th, and one of them got, you know, like 20,000 views. And I was like, well, that was good. I picked up like 40 followers. Very nice.
Right.
And I post that video. And I just, on a whim, I was like, oh, let me just riff for 2 minutes and see what happens. I post it, and I come back, and a couple of people had retweeted it. And later that day, Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show retweeted it, which got it like a nice bump because he has a big following. Right. So it was like, oh, this one's at 40,000 hits. That's crazy. And, you know, the next couple of days, Ken Olin, a big producer and sort of very anti-Trump guy on Twitter, he retweets it, saying a star is born. And then like Richard Marx of all people retweets it. And then like, it just starts catching fire from there. And within a few days it was at, you know, everybody was looking for it. That was the weird thing. I didn't even put it on YouTube till a couple days later when somebody asked me to. And even then it got 2.5 million views on YouTube, even though I was late to post it there. It got 7 million hits on Twitter. And all of a sudden, it was just, I went from 4,000 followers and 500 podcast listeners to that week. Like, within a week, I was at 60,000 followers and, you know, 15, 20,000 downloads on the most recent episode of my podcast. And it went crazy. It was nice. It was a little overwhelming because you're not used to having your career, arc altered that much.
Right.
Yeah, and it was, I'm very grateful. I've made, you know, there's no stand-up. Once again, speaking to how awful stand-up comedy is, I've never made more money in a year from comedy, and I haven't done a single stand-up gig.
Well, that
speaks to how awful stand-up is. It's like, this is my most successful year. Oh, did you get booked a lot? I had zero bookings.
But it's also so ironic because I'm sure people would want to book you now, and they can't because there's no live performances. It's so fucked up.
I joke about, as you've seen, I'm sure, over the years, I've joked about my sort of, failures in comedy, feeling like, oh, I had a good year almost, and, oh, I got booked on this, and it led to nothing. And just always these up and downs, but never really sustained success. So it makes sense that my best year would be a year where I would get booked, but can't.
Well, do you also, is there part of you, because this is how I would feel. I've also been, you know, a spectacular failure for the last 15 years, and I'm still waiting for my viral moment. So does part of you feel like, hey, this is great, but where were you motherfuckers all these years that I've been doing this? I mean, even the Trump voice you've been doing since 2016.
Right. Yeah. No, that's that. The Trump thing was really why I really was considering, I wrote a pilot script since I moved out to New Jersey, because I was just basically trying to adjust mentally to, let me just do some comedy stuff on the weekend. I'll do road work if I get booked, but I can't prioritize it anymore. And the Trump impression was the thing that pushed me kind of over the edge, where I said, but I know, how is it that nobody's in the market for like a great, great killer Trump impression this whole time? I mean, other people have gotten work and done good things with it, but I thought, how am I not getting either corporate work or a chance to do impressions somewhere? And that's what kind of made me think, you know, if this isn't working, if this isn't getting noticed, then right. It's probably sort of hopeless. Now I'm just waiting on a miracle. And lo and behold.
On Easter Sunday of all times.
That's right. It totally bizarre. And I try not to get mad at people who will be like, where the hell have you been? And I'm like, hating my life for the last 17 years right. as I try to get people to recognize that I'm decent at this. But they don't know. You know, it's not nobody's fault if they haven't discovered me. If they become fans now, great. And then it's my job to sort of try and get some of them, you know, aware of my other impressions, of my stand-up, and hopefully, you know, this can be sustained
right.
in 2021.
You have a whole catalog of shit you can peddle. You've got, what, 8 comedy albums that you've done?
Yeah, six stand-up and two is Trump. So the Trump album, the timing couldn't have been better. It's called Fireside Craps the Deuce, if I can make a shameless plug. But
Fireside Craps.
And I recorded that, exactly. I recorded that in late January, just thinking, you know what, I know the impression's good. I've got the content. Let's put it out. Maybe a few fans will buy it. So between a May 1st release date and the late January recording, a lot changed. So it ended up selling really, really well, which was great, which wouldn't have happened. But it was like exactly what people were looking for. They're like, I love your Trump impression. And I could go say, brand new Trump album. So
yeah, I mean, you're really now the Von Meter of your era. And I'm hoping that your career ends in the same way his did.
Yeah. No, I have thought the same thing.
Speaking of which, I can't wait for
Trump and my virtual Trump to be gone. I know it sounds ungrateful, but it's sort of like I am not enjoying doing Trump as much as I used to. And I've told people, and they don't believe me because everybody just sort of assumes that everyone will sell out. But I said, barring SNL, which I don't think is going to happen, I don't want to do Trump if he wins.
Well,
I don't think he's going to win.
The last time you were on this podcast, you talked about this. You talked about the ambivalence you felt portraying such a heinous person, and
right,
particularly because you are so funny that you make him strangely likable. I know that's not your intent, but you know, like when you interviewed me on your podcast as Trump, I was really trying to fight with you and you kept making me laugh. So is that ambivalence even more intense now that we're so close to this election?
Sure. What I tried to do, and I always find it funny, like I did a video last week, the day before Trump's brother died, and I didn't know he was going to die the next day, but I basically did a video as Trump, not even remembering his own brother's name, and saying that he was about to go golf very strongly as a way of honoring his brother,
right,
when his brother was in the hospital. And people are like, dude, you're funny, but this is too much. Like,
right,
have some respect. The next day his brother dies, and where is Trump? Golfing. And I said, I said it on my own podcast, you know, the one I do in my own words. I said, you can't blame the weatherman for the hurricane.
Right.
Like,
all I did was tell you what he was going to do, as heinous as it seemed. That's exactly what he did. So I have tried to, early on when the Easter video blew up, a lot of conservatives liked it. A couple of conservative stations tried to get me on, like TV stations. And I just said no, because I said, I'm not here. If you find it funny, great, but I'm not going to give you the stamp of approval, like, hey, we can all laugh at this. Like,
right,
I'm a little more inclusive in who I want to laugh at this. I can't stop you from laughing, but the fact is, this isn't all funny joke. This is trying to point out that he's awful. And for me, I've tried to push that a little bit more with the impression, even if it alienates a few people who go, that was too much.
I'm fascinated that they liked it. Like, I assume you have tons of haters from MAGA Nation. But I guess some of them just think you're doing like an homage to President Trump, and they love you for it. Are they that stupid that they can't see that you're ridiculing him?
You know what I think, and I think it's worse than that. And I've stated on my Twitter, I'm going, if you support Trump, I don't really want you as a fan. Like, they can ignore that if they want, or maybe they don't see it. But I said, what I find, I think it's more disturbing than that. I think what it is they are aware that he is maybe they don't think he's a full Klansman racist, but they know he's bigoted. They know he's not a real Christian. They know he's immoral. They know he's cruel to people. And they don't actually consider those things important enough to care about. Like, they kind of go, taxes, judge. It's really just taxes. And it's a tough white guy talking shit, if I may curse, sorry, to progressives. You know, he's walking out there with enough money and enough ego to say what a lot of these people wish they could say to progressives, which is, screw your affirmative action, screw your women's rights, screw you telling me I can't tell dirty jokes, screw you for calling me racist just because I think I'm better than other people. I don't like immigrants. That doesn't make me a bad person. It reminds me, I was on spring break my senior year of college. I remember this very attractive woman from Texas I was talking to for a while, She didn't know what race I was, like most people, my racial mix. And she said to me, I'm not racist, I just don't like black people. And I've often joked, I go, is that woman a high-ranking member of Trump's administration right now? Because that's that mentality where it's so blind, you do the racist things, but you don't want to be called a racist.
What did you say back to her?
I was drunk, and I just sort of, I lost my dance floor boner and just went home with my friend.
You didn't tell her that you didn't tell her that your dad's from Haiti?
No. And then a lot of people, they were like, oh, you should have banged her instead. You just got banged by a half black guy. And I go, I'm not a porn star. I don't have the confidence to just be like, yeah, I turned off my moral compass for an hour and totally plowed
hate fucked her.
Yeah, I was still in the business of love fucking. Like, I was like, oh, I don't have the people I like. I don't have enough experience to just go, you know what? I'm turning on the hate fuck switch right now.
I wish I could experience love fucking. JL, Sarah Cooper is another comedian who's found widespread fame based on her Trump videos.
I'm the atomic bomb, and she is the nuclear bomb.
Yes.
Like, in terms of how widespread.
Yeah, and she's different from you. She lip syncs actual Trump audio, but I'm wondering if you guys have spoken to each other and thought about maybe teaming up for some kind of Trump special.
It's probably too late for that now in terms of we're operating on different levels, and nothing against her, but there have been a couple of things from her fans, who didn't know that I started first, and some of them, in an odd compliment, I think thought I was lip syncing, which is a bizarre compliment to my impression.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it usually comes off. Among the things I've been told, every time a video goes up by me or gets shared, I get dozens of, get your own shtick, you're stealing from Sarah Cooper. And then other people have gone as far to say, great, another white man stealing from a black woman, which of course hits me on multiple levels very angrily. And it's just turned me off from, I'd rather, I don't know if she's seen the stuff and is just sort of playing it safe and not commenting, or maybe, she has so many followers, she might not see it, but she does. We didn't even think of that.
I literally didn't occur to me that her fans would be your haters, but it just shows you how fucked up everybody is.
Your performance is,
like I said,
so good.
She has 2 million fans. I'm sorry to interrupt, but she has 2 million people on Twitter. So it's like, that is an army at this point. Yeah. Like, she is an influencer and a major presence in entertainment now. So I get that she's not going to see all of them, so I can't hold her accountable, but it's turned me off from just sort of wanting to do some sort of, like, I'd rather showcase what I do and have people, appreciate the uniqueness of what I'm doing, and she certainly doesn't need any collaboration with me to, she's operating at a level that, I only dream of. So it's, it's certainly nothing personal with her, but I do sort of want to, I'd rather keep it separate, just for my own, seeing how some of her fans have reacted.
I totally get it. All right, JL, in the time remaining, it's time to play everyone's favorite at-home quiz show, Ask Me No Questions.
Ask Me No Questions.
Ask Me No Questions.
Yeah. Who is the second best Trump impersonator in the world?
Wow. Overall, I guess I always mispronounce his name, but the guy Anthony from
Anthony Atamanik
Central Show. Yeah. The thing I like about his impression is also that it is political. He doesn't go for the I'm just trying to have fun and book corporate gigs.
Yeah.
He does have a perspective on that, which I respect.
I guess this goes back to hate fucking. Would you bang Melania if it were guaranteed that nobody would ever find out?
No, I would want people to find out.
You'd want to videotape it. You're 6'7".
Oh, an inch taller than me.
An inch taller than my guest co-host today. What is the strangest thing you've ever bumped your head against?
Melania Trump.
The strangest thing I've ever bumped my head against, I mean, doorways are not strange. I'd say grazed by a ceiling fan.
Yes.
Damien, that's happened to you too. Do either of you have to duck when you get on the subway?
Yes.
The doorway.
But you can stand up straight though once you're in the car.
In London, you have to curve.
I've seen guys crouching in the car who are over 7 feet. It's got to just be a pain in the ass.
When you have to stand in the middle of the New York City subway because the ends are even lower. Like at the end of each train, my hair sort of grazes the ceiling, but in the middle, there's like an extra, you know, half a foot just to let giraffes roam free.
All right, JL, in Trump's voice, describe what it's like being on the Adam Sank Show podcast.
Well, it's, you know, it's I'd say it's a strong show. I like that it spells out ass. Okay, you know, the PC people would probably tell you to make it. You know, I think, didn't Appletoons tell you to, you know, you couldn't put ass on the thing because they're so PC? And, you know, and Tim Cook, we call him Gay Apple because, as you know, he's gay. Yes. So I thought he would be more, you know, a strong ally, they call it an ally, of the community by letting you do whatever you want to do with the name of the show. But, you know, I'm more pro-gay than some of the gay people. So, you know, I think we had a very strong appearance on the show. You know, and it was, you know, I'm an ally. It's called ally.
Your performance is the best out there for sure. Like the nuance of it and the fact that you don't have to rely on, makeup or anything like that. You just capture him on so many levels.
Now, now, JL, give us Trump in bed trying to do some dirty talk.
Melatonin. It's time for, you know what time it is. It's your contractually obligated sex time with Trump. Okay, you know, you want it green card style? You know what that is? That's if you don't submit, I take away your green card. So, get down there, okay? Get the big Cheeto. You want the big Cheeto? Okay, so get it. And I'm done.
That's it. He's already come. Have you ever actually used that dirty talk when you're in bed with your girlfriend?
I have not. I've only joked about it. But no, I don't do characters in bed.
Do you do other impressions?
I do. I used to do many impressions. For a while, my closing bit was an Obama impression, but it's the last couple of years, you know, I've done so much Trump. Like I've started to, on Twitter, try a Mike Pence, which people seem to like. I tried a Cory Booker.
Let's hear Mike Pence.
Let's see if I can get it. Well, it's just a sort of earnestness, Mr. President. You know, when I see the bold and strong leadership of our president, his manly bulge in his pants, and I care so deeply about this country as a man of faith. And, you know, our president is not racist. In fact, he had me specifically go on Blacked.com to do deep research into our African American community. So it's that. It's basically a
That's
very,
amazing.
But I feel like your natural speaking voice has become more like Trump's because you've been talking like him so much.
I bet you they're going to find out in a couple of years that like the throat lining has like it's been eviscerated from trying to do the scratchy sort of Trump voice. So once I start talking a while, my voice starts to sound more like his, which I always go, no, just talk to me in the morning when I haven't spoken for 4 hours.
Right.
And
right.
You'll see what my real voice sounds
like. Because you're not from Queens.
I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, okay. So close enough. I mean, so you have the New York accent, but I think what makes your impression so strong is it not just that you sound like him, but you have the persona down pat.
Yep.
And the way that Trump is always improvising and just pulling things out of his ass that make no sense and are non sequiturs, like that's, you've got that down.
He's like a racist jazz artist. and I tell people whenever they try to give me a script for something, it's not me. I say it literally, like all my videos are unscripted because
that's amazing.
I go, he is unscripted. Like, and I'm not I'm not an actor. I mean, you could call these performances, but I'm not some sort of trained actor. But
right.
Knowing the character, he hates reading.
Yes,
he hates being prepared.
Totally.
So you have to just sort of be in an off script kind of mindset because he's always off script. You see him when he reads. He literally, it's like watching a first grader learning to read going, this is stupid. And that's what he looks like. He looks like he's like, why am I doing this? What use is this for me?
I think what you're doing is brilliant. It's very important. Keep it up. Your comedy albums and podcasts are available wherever audio is downloaded. How can people follow you on the interwebs?
Oh, thanks. On Instagram, it's @TrumpPod. That's Trump and then another P-O-D. And on Twitter, JL Covan, JLCAUVIN. And then links to all my albums and my podcasts and everything else is at jlcomedy.com.
JL Covan, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Damien. We've had loved having you.
Be kind to each other.
Thank you, JB.
So nice being here.
The Ass will be back next week with another guest, TBD.
Bye.